Yeah, well, I mean, of course, Justice Alito's position is laughable in this. This idea that he can be and that the court should be accountable to nobody, and that the only person that they should be accountable to are themselves. This kind of scout's promise sort of setup for how we should be having ethics standards for the highest and most consequential court in the land. It is completely unacceptable. And not only is it unacceptable, but to have any one of our co-equal branches be completely unaccountable to the others is paving the path to authoritarianism, tyranny, the abuse of power in the United States. And it is structurally completely unsustainable. And so it is not a question of if Congress has jurisdiction and power over the Supreme Court. It is what power are we going to exercise in order to rein in a fundamentally unaccountable and rogue court?
Yeah. So you know they're going to change their mind on that. Like now, right? They're immediately going to change their mind on this because they like the decision that came out this morning about the after conception abortion pill. Welcome to the program, Dana Loesch here with you. We're at the top of this first hour. I got a lot of stuff for you guys today, so buckle up, please, for me, because we've got a lot to touch on, and we're going to start with this because it's SCOTUS season. We have more decisions that are expected tomorrow, and the presidential immunity, that wasn't part of it today. Some were wondering whether or not it's going to be a part of it tomorrow. So we're going to, today though, this was the case that had to do with the abortion pill. And so this was, you know, all obviously in the wake of Roe v. Wade. So again, welcome to the program, Dana Loesch. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program. God help me, I'm in pink today. I don't know what happened. It's not black. It's weird. Don't comment on it. We're just going to pretend it's not there. I feel like a Muppet. Anyway, so it's weird. So this case, this is the Supreme Court. It sounds like a soup. I look at it and I think a minestrone. It's Mifepristone. It is the Mifepristone pill. And the Supreme Court upheld, it was unanimous. They upheld access to this pill, and they rejected the lawsuit that would have impacted it nationwide. Now, it's important to note why it was rejected. I don't necessarily agree with the decision. I understand why they made it, regardless of whether or not I agree with it or not. I understand why they made it. They're claiming that they didn't have standing to bring forward in court, meaning that, you know, the party bringing it forward in court, you have to demonstrate that you're going to be that you're negatively impacted by the law, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the weird thing about this is that somebody else could bring the case and it ultimately could wind its way up again before SCOTUS. I mean, so that's kind of a big issue here. But they said that this pill, the Mifepristone pill, is used in more than half of the abortions in the United States. It's been used by over 5.5 million since its approval in 2006. And it was the FDA versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. And it was a bunch of anti-abortion, or actually just life, you know, people who like life, medical professionals who filed the suit. They were going to block access to the drug. So we're going to talk about this ruling. It keeps it available, but again, like I said, there are other lawsuits that can be brought forward. So this may not be the only case that's brought forward regarding this pill to SCOTUS. And it was a 9-0 decision. What I mean by standing is that the justices, and it was Kavanaugh who wrote the opinion, were saying that pro-life doctors who were bringing it did not have standing, meaning that they were not injured as they could not claim to be injured by the case. Therefore, the court, does not intervene. And they were sued. Now, this is what, you know, I would say, but they were suing on behalf of women who literally were, though. So that's kind of my little nitpick with this is that, well, they were suing on behalf of women who were injured. But that's the decision of that was the decision of the court. So we'll see if there's another lawsuit that goes forward. I would imagine that there will be. But that was the SCOTUS ruling this morning. Now, keep in mind, here's the way to look at it. Here's the way to look at this case. That number one, future suits can be brought. So this is not the end of this case. Number two, and this is a very Machiavellian view of it, I want you to think about how the electoral process would be reshaped had this case, had the Supreme Court determined the other way, and the access would have been prohibited to this pill 4 months before an election. Now, just think about that for a moment. Think about it for a moment. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But what is the overall goal? You got to look at, sometimes when you're looking at moving the ball down the field, it looks like you move it a step back when really you're planning to move it a bunch of steps forward in the very near future. That's how you got to look at this. So if this would have been granted, and I'm just saying I don't necessarily agree with the judge's decision just because I think that it was brought on behalf of women who actually were injured, but okay. However, I understand that they were specifically looking at the doctors and whether or not the doctors had standing. But if this case, because lawsuits can go forward after November. But had this decision gone the other way, consider what that would look like for November. Consider what that would look like for Democrat messaging. And if you're wanting to save more lives, you perhaps could have imperiled your ability to do so had this become a major election year issue for Democrats. Now that you're, that sounds very callous and clinical and calculating, Dana. Yes. Yes, because I want to win. So I will do that. I want to win. And if it looks calculating, I don't care. That's my view of this. So I'm not saying, you know, it's sad because we're talking about life. However, think for a moment, because there are a lot of stupid people out there. Think for a moment how this also would have impacted the election. This would have been Democrats would have seen this as a major gift, and boom, you would have seen multi-million dollar spending campaigns in a number of states. And Republicans suck at messaging on this. They are horrible. You know it. Admit it. They're awful. They're too terrified to talk. I watched, I think it was a Neil Brennan stand-up routine, and at one point he was talking about the discussion of controversial issues in public is like playing controversial Jenga. That's exactly what Republicans are like, and they're like awkward little Jenga players. They have no idea how to handle it. They cannot, there's like maybe two Republicans, even amongst the ones I like, guys, there's like two of them that know how to message this properly. And they do the cause a greater disservice. So can you imagine this for just a moment? Going forward into November and they're all out there like, well, I don't know about them babies. I mean, they have no idea what to say. So yes, my view is very Machiavellian. No, it doesn't mean that I love life any less than you do. It just means that I am willing to make it look like I'm willing to screw over the left very hard in order to win. So that's a way to view this. Now, I want to move because we've got a lot. We're not done with this, but you know, we're gonna go through some stuff. I asked this question yesterday, and I really would love the answer to it because I have an update for you on the travel for Jill Biden. So you realize that when she was going back and forth from France to Delaware for Hunter's trial, we're on the hook for that. When she flies on Air Force One, it doesn't have that call sign when Biden's not on it. But it's like something like a minimum of $206,000 or $216,000 to run the thing, like for a flight. And the Democrats have said that they're oh, don't worry about her, Jill Biden's flights. They were trying to get ahead of the criticism for her flights. They were saying, don't worry about her flights. We're going to reimburse for that. But there's the caveat. What do you mean? Well, how much? They said they would only reimburse for up to one international first class seat. One international first class seat going from Norman, I mean, that can run about $5,000 or $6,000. That's all. We're looking at six figures for her flying on that plane. Democrats are only going to reimburse up to the cost of one international first class seat. And then we, the taxpayer, paid for her to go back and forth from France to Delaware for Hunter Biden's trial. We, the taxpayers, paid for that. That was confirmed yesterday evening. Oh, but wait, there's more. Now, I ask this because I saw a very interesting headline yesterday. And you might, if you follow me, might have seen it. So I was watching the president is in Italy. He's in Puglia, which is a beautiful region in the southeastern portion of Italy. And he's there for G7. Well, he flew after he talked about gun control when Hunter Biden was convicted. He flew to Delaware. We paid for that. And then he went so he could hug Hunter. And I was like, well, you just flew there to hug Hunter after his trial. No, he also flew there to pick up all his damn grandkids. All of his adult grandkids hopped Air Force One with him and went to G7 with him as a little family vacation. Because, you know, they're not going to the meetings. Biden, hell, he didn't even go to the dinner. So what are they doing? Why are they all there? All of the adult grandkids, including the one that got married at the White House and apparently lived at the White House for a while, Naomi, they're all there with them at a beautiful Italian 5-star. It's a beautiful resort. I've never been there, but I've read about it. I mean, I'd love to go there. It's a beautiful seaside Italian resort. That's where they're meeting. And he took all of his adult grandkids with Hunter. And so they all got on Air Force One and they all had their vacay bags packed. I was watching. Now, this is me being a catty woman. I was watching. I saw one of the grandkids in her low pair of tennis shoes, LOWE, which retail for about $800 a pair. She's on her nice sneakers. Oh, yeah. She's got her nice sneakers. She's boarding Air Force One. She's got her vacation bag. They're all in there ready to go and vacay. Italian vacation, guys. How many of you have had to either eliminate your vacations, cut your vacation short, restructure them or something because you can't afford it because of this guy's policies? But he can pack up all of his grandkids that they're going to have extra Secret Service. That's extra food. That's all of it because we're paying for this. We're paying for the Air Force One. We're paying for the Secret Service protection. We're paying for all of that stuff. You can't tell me that they're paying for their own accommodations there. You can't tell me that they're paying for any of this. The Italian taxpayers are probably picking up the tab if they're staying there and their rooms were provided because that resort's not doing it for free. So that's probably Italian taxpayers picking up that tab. He's the only leader that has this whole family going with him. This is like National Lampoon, white trash. No, sorry, that's an insult to white trash. National Lampoon's grifting vacation. Why are all the Biden kids going there? So we need to have a conversation about this because we're paying for this. We're also going to get into this should be the biggest story in the nation right now. And it's bad. The days of the petrodollar are over. And this is the worst story. We're going to talk about this. This is a major, major, major blow to our economy and to U.S. energy dominance. Saudi Arabia's 50-year-old petrodollar agreement with the United States has expired. There is no new agreement in place. Saudi Arabia is now going to sell oil in multiple currencies, including the Chinese RMB, including euros, the yen, yuan, all of it, instead of exclusively U.S. dollars. This is a disaster. And it should be the number one story in the country today. We're going to touch on this. We're going to talk about it. Another Biden victory, right? Another big Biden victory. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
These jobs reports are just a movie trailer for a bad movie. The month of May barely created any full-time jobs, mostly from the government, and tons of part-time jobs. The headline number may look good, but the rest of it is a dud.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, I had to hit my Black Rifle Coffee. There is such dangerous rainfall in Florida. There's flooding everywhere. Governor Ron DeSantis has called for a state, declared a state of emergency. They said several roads have been turned into rivers and lakes. And I know that the water damage, I know all that's really bad. But guys, you know what else I'm thinking of when I'm looking at all the photos and videos of water swirling everywhere and I'm watching a lady in a wheelchair getting wheeled through water? I'm thinking of gators. That's exactly, I'm not thinking of anything else. I am not thinking of another thing else. Gators. Now, what's that like when there's the flooding and all that there? Are them gators just everywhere up in the streets and on your porches and all that? Like, what is it? That's like a horror movie. So we hope everyone stays safe down there. Good heavens. Also, John Fetterman was said to have been at fault for the recent car accident. Apparently, they said he was speeding when he rear-ended this car in front of him. What is that supposed to be? Am I supposed to hate him now because he disagrees with Democrats about how much they hate the Jews? Right? No? Let's see. This, Joe Biden is, this is at the border. He's facing his first lawsuit over the new asylum crackdown at the border. A coalition of immigrant advocacy groups sued him, saying that the recent directive that halts asylum claims at the border, saying they said it's not any different than Trump's dur. And that was also had been previously blocked by the courts. The ACLU filed behalf on a group that doesn't realize the people who aren't citizens here, that don't have the exact same rights, or people who haven't gone through the proper legal pathways do not have the same rights as non-citizens. And so, I don't know, that'll be interesting to see. But there is a point there. The court overturned it when it was Trump. Are they going to do it now that it was Biden? Or is it going to be different because Dems de rules? And marine specialists are scrambling to save a humpback whale ensnared in a fishing net in the Arctic. Oh, no, save him. His name is Stanislav. He's a big old whale ensnared, and they're working really hard to save him and save his life. Stick with us. A lot more in store. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I also hope that most Americans can understand the difference between a flag that symbolizes, love and acceptance and signals to people who have sometimes feared for their safety that they're going to be okay, and insurrectionist symbology. And I'll just leave it at that.
Why are you gay?
So my whole question with this, that's Secretary Mayor Newmom Poop Booty Juice. Also, former Rear Vice Admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy Tonka, who was talking about because it's Alphabet Month, you know, and he's talking about all these. I don't know why people are like, let's paint some murals in the street. So I'm trying to understand this psychological safety that one feels if they see a rainbow on asphalt. Now, I bring this up because yesterday, well, this was after we were off air. I think this was when I was reading some stuff ahead of today. And because I always do a lot of my research after I get off air, I do research until probably about like, you know, I read incessantly till sometimes 7 or 8 o'clock. And unless it's a crazy day and it goes a lot later at night, and then start setting up the show for the next day. Audio soundbite 20. So this was this in, I can't remember what state this was in. This is, I keep seeing this happening in a number of states. And this one little city called Fredericktown, they put out a tweet. Now, Juan is showing you the tweet. First off, before we dive any further, what is on the guy's roller? Like, I noticed it when I reposted it with a comment, but I was too focused on the stupidity of the rest of their tweet. But coming back to this, is that like invisible red paint that goes on? I mean, this is such a stupid, I love that he's got the hard hat on, so he feels safe. But there's nothing on that roller. Kane? Kane's dying.
He's clearly just identifying as a painter.
True.
It's literally what he's doing.
That's true.
It's completely fake because there's no painting going on.
It's taking everything I have right now to just stay in the lines here.
Yeah, Juan and I were talking about this morning. It's clearly like they do the photo op thing. They're like, hey, go out there and dress like those painters dress and grab one of those rollers from like Home Depot that those painters have.
There's no paint anywhere. And then, like not even a bucket.
Right, they couldn't go that far apparently.
That looks so stupid. You know, he's pretending like a lot of the people who are pretending to be a member of the different sex. They're like the pretending. They're all cosplaying. So that's fitting, right? But here's the thing. I don't care what people choose to do in the privacy of their own homes because I don't care. I really don't. I don't have a heart that big. I don't care. And I'm not a busy Betty. I don't want to micromanage your life. I don't care. Like, I just don't. I've got enough issues right now to deal with, right? But I'm trying to figure out the significance of painting a rainbow on the street. And then, you know, you can't just paint the rainbow. You guys know this, right? They've been fighting about this online too. If you paint just the rainbow, then the T's get mad at you. The T's look at the L's and the G's and the B's and like, what is wrong with you bigots? And the L's and G's and B's are like, what is wrong with you? And then they fight. And so they have to put the T's have the nastiest, stupid colors. Like brown and blue and pink and some other stuff on there. And then they've got this weird symbol and it just is stupid. And then it just looks trashy and cluttered and busy. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out what about paint being on asphalt makes it better. Like, oh, I feel so unsafe. I felt unsafe, and then I saw paint on the asphalt, and now I feel so much better. I don't understand the, you know, the world safer because of paint on asphalt denoting sexual activity. Oh, stop it. Stop being like, no, Dana, it's about love and acceptance and about, of what? Love and acceptance of what? Finish it. Of what? You don't understand. It's about making people feel safe. For what? To do what? Finish it. Why? Why is it different for you and everyone else? We don't need to see paint on a road, right? I sleep with my husband. I don't need a flag on the road to make me feel safe, right? Colors on the road, paint on the road. Just saying. I don't need that to feel safe. So what is it about? What does it represent? No one finishes it. It's about how you have sex. That's all it is. And no one cares, but people keep shoving it all in everybody's faces. Or with the T's, you know, you call me ma'am. I mean, you've.
Excuse me, it's ma'am.
See?
It is ma'am.
It's, you have to, especially with the T's, you have to not only, it's not about acceptance, it's about accommodation and encouragement. Do you feel safer? Did all the crime end because there's colors on the road now, Kane? It just is over the top.
It actually made me feel less safe because now how do I know where these people are supposed to cross the street? Am I supposed to stop like right there or a couple feet before it? Now actually I don't even really know.
And can you not walk on it? Like they get mad if people drive on it.
Right. Do they kill?
I'm not going to make the obvious joke about skid marks that I think would complete the mural. And not for the reason that immediate... No, stop it. I'm just saying, you can't drive on it. You can't... Like, don't even look at it. It's probably a felony. I don't know. Well, they're like, it's a more inclusive and safe society for all. You know what it means? The rainbow on the road means that only the alphabet people can cross here. You're allowed... Drivers are allowed to hit you if you have sex a normal, boring way. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know how people know that. No one knows unless you throw it in their face, right? I mean, it's the equality and everything else is assumed unless you're trying to give people reasons for not treating you equally and then demanding that they treat you equally. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. Like a hurt and rescue that you do yourself.
Well, they issue a gay walking ticket?
A gay walking. That's you know what? It's gay walking if it's not in the rainbow. Right. You've got to stay on the yellow brick road. The rainbow brick road. Otherwise, it's gay walking and you get a ticket for it. That's a good point, Kane. I don't know what the ticket is. And if you're apparently an alphabet person and you don't cross in the rainbow, you'll get mowed down. But if you are not an alphabet person and you cross in the rainbow, you'll get mowed down. So see, I don't know. There's like all these laws and stuff. It's just so over the top. It's over the top. Meanwhile, the world is burning. So let's talk for a moment about the story with the petrodollar. Saudi Arabia's 50-year petrodollar agreement with the U.S. has expired. There is no new agreement in place. Again, no new agreement in place. It seems like, I don't know, they could have saw this coming, Kane.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, we knew this was on the way. Saudi Arabia has ditched the dollar. They're not renewing it. It was established before I was born. This thing was established in 1974. So you knew when it was done in 1974, it had a 50-year lifespan. So at some point, you knew that you had to like re-up this thing, right? This will end the USA as a superpower. That's kind of wild. Because that's not going to be, as a result of this, the US dollar will not be the reserve currency of the world. There is all sorts of stuff that can fall out from this. And I think a lot of people don't understand it because they don't understand what they don't understand the concept of the petrodollar. This is a huge shift in power. And it should be, which is insane to me that this is not the top story in the country everywhere. You have Joe Biden at G7 right now. I don't even know if this is going to be something that's discussed. This should be, if the Trump campaign should do a 30-second explainer on this at the next event that he does. And then part of his policy should be talking about how he's going to bring the petrodollar back and reestablish these ties and make the United States, keep the United States an economic superpower. If they were smart, if his advisors are smart, they're going to have him doing that. In ways that, like a 30-second explainer, I think he can put it in a way that everybody can understand. And people want to root for the USA. So even if they don't totally understand it, they're going to be on board with it. That's really what needs to be done here. He needs to be focusing on this. Russia's already halted trading in commodities and dollars. We've got almost $35 trillion in debt. And I don't know.
Governments diluted the value of the dollar.
Meanwhile, the ruble's going well. Ruble's strong.
Right. And sanctions were supposed to cripple that.
So we will be... Honestly, I don't know how it's not going to be a drag on the U.S. economy. So if you don't understand it, the petrodollar, that's when Saudi Arabia agreed to sell oil exclusively in U.S. dollars. And they got some assistance in return, military security, etc. Now, you might think, well, why are we giving them assistance? I am all for leveraging what I can leverage in order to maintain dominance. That's what I would look at if I was the United States government, and it is the ultimate in national security. It cements you as if you're an economic powerhouse, you're a powerhouse, and Saudi Arabia not renewing this, I also think that they don't want to renew it because it's Biden. I think if there was a different president in the White House, they would renew it. But they cannot stand Joe Biden. They can't stand Democrats. I mean, Democrats use that whole Jamal Khashoggi thing. You know, Khashoggi was an activist, right? I mean, everyone's like, oh, he was a citizen journalist. He was an activist. I mean, and he was an agitator. He knew, you know, I'm not saying that's justification for everything, but it's like you kind of know what you're getting into when you expose yourself to certain risks and when you do so willingly. But my whole point is that, remember, Biden was like, oh, he was going to break their leaders over there in Saudi Arabia. And then he ended up kissing the ring, like literally, like didn't he? Wasn't there a photo of him doing that or something when he arrived in Saudi Arabia for some, I think it was one of his trips where he went hat in hand to go beg for oil. This is a disastrous move. So we're going to have Carol Roth on, and this is going to be one of the things we're going to have to talk about as it relates to economic policy, because we're going to be diving into some of this stuff coming up. And this is just, it's disastrous. So, and a lot of people, I don't think were really taught about the petrodollar in school. I didn't learn about the petrodollar in school at all or in college. Not at all. Well, basically in econ, but it was like a brief thing. I went to a liberal arts university, so they wanted to extol the virtues. Joke, yeah, I know. The virtues of Marx and Leninism, as opposed to, you know, talking about this stuff. So they're going to instead of exclusively in the U.S. dollar, they're going to be selling it in multiple currencies now. So they've ditched the dollar. Now, there was a point that was made. If you look at the difference in the way that, like Saudi Arabia, they cannot stand Biden. Biden's made himself an enemy. And everybody else is suffering. People are trying to say, no, Saudi Arabia, they've never really had an agreement. Yes, they did. Stop it. It was in 1974. Stop it. It's when we started moving away from gold. Learn history. Now, speaking of gold, by the way, now we got to get moving. This is a great time to make sure that you go get some. Just told you how it's going to get worse economically. And, the petrodollar, that's just one reason. The bad financial policies coming out of this administration, that's another reason. You need to protect yourself, and the way that you can do that is with Gold Co. They want to make sure that you understand everything there is about the economy of how gold IRAs work. They have thousands of five-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau, and they want to make it easy for you to understand all this. They have a free 2024 wealth protection guide that gives you every bit of fact and information about how precious metals help you in the face of inflation and exploding national debt. And you could possibly be eligible for an up to 10% instant match in bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. So visit DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Cheers to a bright, clean energy future for Massachusetts.
Cheers to lowering energy costs.
Cheers to great new clean energy jobs for Massachusetts workers.
Cheers to investing in America.
And to beer.
You see how cautious they were about, like, cheersing, clinking their beers, because you could tell none of them ever have done it. And also, that's awkward. Are those chicks you'd want to go have a brew with?
No, they're not.
Why does she always sound so
fake?
Yeah, and awkward. Well, because it's fake. But that was Jennifer Granholm, Elizabeth Warren, another Massachusetts leader, talking about green energy jobs. And then she's like, beer. Like, she wants you to know she's a big old beer drinker. She's probably doing keg stands the moment she gets off that camera. No one believes that. No, nobody believes that. She's just awkward. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lesher with you. Very interesting that comes out the day that, you know, the petrodollar's crumbling. What are you going to do about that, Jennifer Granholm? You're literally the energy department. You head up the energy department. You're the energy secretary. She can't speak to anything about oil and gas. She wants everything to be, the solar and wind and all that, and but we don't have the infrastructure, the demand, the reliability, etc. There's so much on the line for November. There's so much on the line for November. I just need everybody to get over any kind of dislike or whatever, because everything is on the line in November. I mean, how much more worse can it get? For real. You keep hearing these stories about, economic downturn's coming. Is it more downturny than what we have now? I mean, it's pretty rough right now. Y'all seen groceries? My butter went up again. And I don't even get the bougie butter. I could have been buying bougie butter this whole time. But I'm like, no. I'm just going to buy this butter. It's, fine. It's perfect for my needs. Now I'm paying a bougie price and it ain't bougie butter. I don't even want to look at because I bake a lot. I don't even want to know what the cost is of the bougie stuff, right? At this point, I'm going to have to start churning it myself. My gosh, it's crazy. The cost of everything has increased exponentially. I mean, we're talking about studio expansion and stuff like that here. And oh my gosh, the construction costs, the difference from when you get a project quoted to then when you're moving forward and a little amount of time, it balloons and everything goes up because wood's going up and material, everything, all the materials, the labor, everything, because inflation. It's chilling everything. And then depending on what happens in November, what you're going to see more tax. I got so aggravated. This tweet that came out from the Biden-Harris headquarters, it's their Twitter account. They had this graphic, and I have it on my rundown. They have this graphic that is supposed to show you manufacturing is booming under Biden. Trump failed. President Biden is delivering. And it shows a span of 2018 to 2024. And it's talking about spending and manufacturing. Well, spending's gone up because things cost more. You epic moron. Look at how much things cost and show that on a graph. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana. Top of the second hour. Welcome back. We all got distracted because Steve told us his middle name. Welcome back. Dana Lash, top of the second hour. It's the Dana Show. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream us. You can also stream us online. Watch the simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, X. Now everyone's going to, I'm going to just get slammed with questions like, what's his middle name? It must have been good. It is. It's a really good one. All right. I had a story that I included in, if you're a subscriber to my Substack, which you should be, you get good stuff that comes out all throughout the week. And if you're a subscriber and you get the email prep that I send out all throughout the week, every morning, this story was in here. And we've been talking about the petrodollar. We've been talking about, Biden G7. Apparently, so far, it's pretty disastrous, him being over there. I wanted to touch on this, too. It's a part of the policy. This is one of the dumbest things. This is so dumb. It's really one of the worst things I've ever seen in terms of stepping on yourself with bad policy. And it has to do, let me pull this up, with... It has to do with energy. You remember when Joe Biden said, the Biden administration said they were going to build something like a frillion charging stations. Oh, yeah. EV charging stations. Yeah. Oh, they're going to build all these EV charging stations. So many of them. In fact, they had said, I think it was 500,000. Yeah. Now, he said that in 2021. They're going to build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations by the year of 2030. Kane, guess how many they built?
We did this a few weeks ago. There was like six or seven. Is there more than seven?
No, there's not.
No?
Seven.
Is there fewer than seven?
No, it's just seven.
Because okay. I've seen the videos of them cutting that copper out of that wires.
It's seven.
It's seven.
Whole stations.
Still only seven.
So, you know, of the 500,000.
With a diesel generator sitting 300 yards back behind it.
Now, remember, the Secretary Mayor Poot Booty Juice, he's the guy who administers the funds that are apportioned for this in the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure act. Now, do you remember when he was on also CBS's Face the Nation? And he goes, well, it's more than just plunking a small device into the ground. Remember that? So they had these internal memos from the Department of Transportation. This was a story broken by the Washington Free Beacon. And they interviewed people who are responsible for overseeing the implementation of these EV charging stations. What do you think the delay is? Let me just say, if you guys had to think of a delay for why these EV charging stations couldn't be built, what would you think it is? Probably like materials or something, right?
Yeah.
Nope. What? Nope. It's because of their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. One senior Department of Transportation staffer said, quote, these requirements are screwing everything up. Someone else said that's making it take so much longer. So when Biden took office, he signed this executive order that demanded that the beneficiaries of 40% of all government grants that relate to climate and environmental programs, that they have to come from underserved communities. So the order that established, you know, the it's the White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council. They monitor Department of Transportation to make sure that, quote, all voices, perspectives, and lived realities of communities with environmental justice concerns are heard in the White House and reflected in federal policies, investments, and decisions. What? The world? What in the world hell is that? So in order to even get a grant, and the Free Beacon has all the receipts on it, applicants have to demonstrate how meaningful public involvement and inclusivity of disadvantaged communities, how that is going to occur throughout the project's life cycle, right? So they didn't actually define what public involvement means in this. They just said that, well, it should be intentional outreach to underserved communities. And they have a whole little like a booklet on it online. It's a whole little booklet. So they get into techniques for meaning. Let's go to page 19 of this. Page 19, scroll on down. They have a million different pages of this. It's so ridiculous. But it's the DEI stuff. So in this, they talk about primary languages and all kinds of other stuff and how to include X, Y, and Z in terms of demos, in terms of identity politics. So they said that if you're going to get a grant, they note in this that applicants have to demonstrate, I told you how they had to demonstrate how they're going to be inclusive of all this stuff. And they didn't define public involvement, except they gave some examples. This is on the this is in their little transportation booklet. So they mention games and contests, visual preference surveys, and neighborhood block parties. Like that's considered, I guess they consider those public involvement. And so long as the grant recipient provides, quote, multilingual staff or interpreters to interact with community members who use languages other than English. I, What does this have to do with just building the damn charging station? How do you even quantify public involvement? How is that even quantified? And I don't even know how any of this, what this has to do with a single EV charging station. But if you want to, if you want federal funding to build it, you got to submit these reports that how that total like hundreds of pages that talk about how what you're doing to pursue equity every step of the way. Now, Kane,
yeah.
Do you think this is going to increase construction costs?
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
This reminds me of what Vice President Harris said. Audio soundbite 12. This is like some of the stuff that, I mean, this is kind of reflective in their policies approaching everything. Listen to this.
Many of you may know the stories about a black family that wants to sell their home and then has the appraiser come in, and the house is appraised for what they know is less than its value. And you probably know the stories about how they'll then reach out to family friends who are white and say, hey, will you all come over, bring your family pictures? We're going to take down ours, and you invite the appraiser.
I've never heard that. People want to make money. They want to make money. But everything is viewed through the lens of race. Apparently, appropriating down to building charging stations. Everything is about race. One senior department transportation official told the Free Beacon that these ridiculous inclusion requirements handcuff professionals from making proper evaluations, and they prevent the government and public from funding the most deserving projects instead of funneling money towards the least qualified applicants. And I mean, golly, the first charging station opened in a small Ohio town and no one used it. Mm-hmm. And they only have 0.33% of all vehicles operating on battery power in that state. Yeah. So the regulations, that's just, you're paying off your voting block through that. Those are federal funds because of the insane word salad restrictions that you're applying, that you're demanding be fulfilled for these to receive a grant to build an EV charging station. You're making it to where you might as well just say you can only, these grants are only allowed for Democrats and Democrat businesses to build these charging stations. Just go ahead and say it. Stop with this other stupid nonsense. This is federal plunder. It's what it is. But can you believe it? So that's why it's so slow. That's why they can't build them. That's why there's 7 out of 500,000 that have been built. I mean, not that I don't think the government should be doing this at all, but I think it's funny that they're stepping all over themselves with us. Out of 500,000, only 7.
And we're 3 years out from that money being green-lighted. So
7.
In 3 years, they've built 7.
Let me give you another example of really stupid policy. So a lot of the left is really mad. A lot of the left in Florida is really, really mad at Governor Ron DeSantis right now because they had yesterday his office released the budget veto list, and it had a bunch of stuff on there. Some of it's pretty crazy. The stuff that they were vetoing. One of the things on the list was menstrual hygiene products grant program pursuant to section blah, 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 Florida statutes. Now, I thought, what is for tampons? One of my favorite meme accounts, Midnight Mitch, lost their mind over it. Because that's what they're talking about, menstrual hygiene. They're talking about pads and tampons. And the request that he vetoed was $6.4 million for this. So Mitch went in and was like, a 36 count box of tampons at Target, $7.99. That's 800,000 boxes or 28 million individual tampons. The entire population of Florida is like 23 million. Why do you need 28 million tampons for schools? Why does the school even need to be providing that?
Yeah.
And why is it $6.4 million? Oh my gosh. So of course he vetoed that. I mean, you're looking at, that's crazy. That's insane. That's money. Why would you spend that? So yes, he was right. That, and I love the comments on it. I love the comments from the dudes trying to figure out how many per day a girl would need. It's one of my favorite things ever to read. But that's not anything. That's, oh my gosh, $6.4 million. It's just Democrats don't know where money comes from, clearly. Clearly. Just bad policy. This is what they focus on. But the petrodollar, you know, that can go to hell. We don't really care about that. We don't care about that. They don't care about tax dollars unless they're upset that tax dollars were used in the Hunter Biden case. I don't know if you saw this. USA Today has a really stupid piece out that came out yesterday, actually. And they said Hunter Biden's prosecution is a waste of taxpayer dollars. And Trump's wasn't? What? Oh, now you're concerned about taxpayer dollars? Now? Trump's wasn't? It's still situational. We have more on the way, including, let me just give you a quick rundown of what we got. We've been talking about the collapse of the petrodollar. Saudi Arabia is no longer exclusively going to be selling it in U.S. currency. That's huge. We're going to discuss that. The president is in Italy for G7, and it's already been embarrassing. In the videos, he looks so bad, you guys. I'm not saying that to fill content up with making fun of how he moves or how he just looks so unhealthy. I am totally not convinced that he can even get halfway into a second term. Not at all. We're going to talk about some of the some November stuff. We're going to get into that. We got, you know, it's Alphabet Month, so we got culture stuff to hit as well. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service provider that is out there. They're looking to save you money by not wasting your money funding DEI and gun control advocacy and abortion on demand funded by the taxpayer advocacy and putting Ukraine flags in their bio and everything else. They're not doing any of that stuff. They're providing you with great nationwide coverage in all three major networks, so you're getting the same great service without funding the left. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so it makes super switching easy. All this while you're helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I was just talking to Kane about this on break. Have aliens been on Earth all along? Because Harvard researchers seem to think so. Please, I hope they are, because I was just telling, I'm so bored. I'm so bored of everybody's garbage. I'm bored of the left and their stupid stuff. I'm bored of all the Democrat and Republican drama. Give me some alien drama. We need new drama, right? I feel like I'm watching the same old storylines. They said a paper suggests that extraterrestrial life might be coming from underground. It was written by researchers from Harvard and Montana Technological University. They said that unidentified anomalous phenomena, such as UFOs, may already be present in Earth's environment. Also, I'm just saying I hope so. I really genuinely hope so. That would be good. Eight protesters were arrested at the congressional baseball game. The group Climate Defiance took responsibility, posting pictures, blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe don't do that, because there was a progressive that tried to kill all these guys at one of these games. So maybe don't mess around and be stupid and do this stuff. I mean, a guy almost lost his life there. I mean, thank heavens he didn't. American expats are renouncing their U.S. citizenship. A lot of people are doing it because of taxes. Apparently more and more, they said it's the tax filing requirements, etc. That's actually what's causing them to do this. And a Chihuahua had to be revived with Narcan after overdosing on cocaine and heroin, according to the New York Post. That's how bad the drug epidemic is. Stick with us, our partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Ready Wise. You don't have to have a disaster to prepare for major medical emergencies. I mean, people like my family who live out in rural areas, I mean, they know what it's like to have power outages because there's tornadoes. You got storms rolling through, taking out them power lines. power is how you say it properly. And they would like to have peace of mind. And it's not, I mean, it's not nuts to be just prepared. You'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And then when everyone else needs it, you look like the smartest person in the room. So avoid the stress of crowded stores, inflated prices, unreliable services, and get direct access to top quality food wherever you need it by ordering from ReadyWise.com. You can use promo code Dana20, and that gets you 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, 25-year shelf life, just as add water. It's all freeze-dried, hydrated, and U.S. ingredients, processed in a U.S. plant, packed in a U.S. plant, distributed. You know from start to finish where it's coming from. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 and save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at the G7, we have countries coming together again to express their support for Ukraine. Later today, here in Italy, the President and President Zelensky are going to sign an agreement between the United States and Ukraine, a bilateral security agreement. What that means in plain English is that we're committing to support Ukraine as it builds up its defenses for the next 10 years.
Oh, wow. So that's Antony Blinken. They're more concerned about Ukraine than they are about the United States and the collapse of the petrodollar. Welcome back to the program. We're at the bottom of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also watch the simulcast of the program as well. Channel 347 Direct TV. It's on X, Rumble, everywhere else. And sent for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. So this is a deliverable that he had to bring home. This was of his G7 meetings. This was described as a key deliverable. And the deal is committing us to a full decade of military support. It seems like that's something that should be passed by Congress and not just entered into by Joe Biden. But this is the reality. I'm going to interrupt myself because Juan had a banger of a comment. Quote, I hope we get all their grain. Right? I mean, what are we getting for it? What are we getting for it? The deal, they caution, doesn't have the strength of a treaty. Therefore, they can say that they don't have to get it ratified by the Senate. And so, I mean, really, if it's not Biden, you could also have whoever comes after him in the White House could withdraw from it. And this, remember, just a week ago, I think it was, let me look at my notes. Yeah, about a week ago, we had the $60 billion measure that went to aid Ukraine as well. So that is... So they got a $50 billion loan, another deal emerging from the G7 meetings. That's another part of it. An agreement to provide them with a $50 billion loan. They're still working out those details, apparently. But this was one of the things that they were going to determine at G7. And so they're all just wild. I don't know if you've seen him move around at G7. Can you throw up that video? I put it in Slack. I guess they were having some kind of show where they had paratroopers or something, and the guy came out of the plane, and there's video showing Biden still looking in the sky, and the guy had already landed behind him, and he's standing away from everyone else, just kind of staring into the sky. It makes me wonder how much of this is actually, I don't think any of this is being negotiated by Biden. The reason I'm playing this video is I'm not going to sit here and make fun of him. But, I mean, he's like off looking around, Biden is, and you got this, you know, this jumper behind him, and he's unhooking all of his stuff. You have Giorgia Meloni, who is the prime minister of Italy. You have some other world leaders that are there. You have Ursula von der Leyen. She's the head of the EU. She's standing there with Emmanuel Macron. You also have Japan, the UK leadership there. And it's weird because they all move to stand around Biden, and he puts on his sunglasses, and it's like he's looking at him for the first time. He's looking at this dude for the first time. He just has no idea where he's going. So they all make a move to stand around him. And it was kind of Macron who does it first. And Meloni actually is tasked with bringing Biden back. That's Italy's prime minister, Giorgia Meloni. She's tasked with turning him around and bringing him back. And then the other leaders kind of assemble around him. He has no idea what the hell's going on. So I point this out because Do you believe that Joe Biden is actually negotiating this stuff over there?
No.
Look at the videos. You see how awkward he moves, how slow he moves. You hear his remarks. Do you really believe that he is sitting down negotiating some of these details? And even if you believe, well, Dana, they don't really negotiate. You know, it's not him negotiating. It's all the other aides. Well, then do you really believe that he's even doing that? Do you believe that he's there to sell it boardroom style? No, I know you don't. So who is? I was looking at a couple of different pictures of where he was in the room with Zelensky. And I see a lot of the Ukraine's got a lot of folks on one side. And then you have Jake Sullivan on the other side. I see Blinken. I also see, a couple of other folks, Pentagon, DOD, that are sitting there with them. Maybe they're the ones that are doing it. I don't know. But I just find it so odd. You have all of these big moves coming out, commitment to 10-year commitment to Ukraine, to supporting Ukraine in military efforts, a $50 billion loan, and all of that. When they were saying the $50 billion loan, some of that money comes from the interest on the $300 million that was seized in Russian assets as a way to kind of blunt the criticism of people who are asking where those funds are coming from. That's neither here nor there to me, because we've already spent billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that didn't come from seized assets. So, wow. Not him, but he's had trouble immediately when he got there. When he got there, he blew off. They had a big G7 dinner last night. He blew it off. And all the other leaders were there. And apparently I think some of them thought he was going to be there. At least some of the foreign press thought Biden was going to be there. And when he got off the stairs to arrive in Italy, he was slow. He could barely get it. He had trouble initially getting down the stairs. And then he kind of was shuffling across and he had no idea where he was going. He looked around real confused. He did not look like he was there. And it's so dangerous to have, I think it's cruel to keep going like this. And it's also dangerous to have somebody like this in control of the nuclear football. Right? The video is incredible. The video is coming out. And when you have moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats saying it, Kay made the point. This is how badly they do not want Kamala. But they messed it up. I think the people who are calling the shots for Joe want to keep him there so they can continue calling the shots. And I think they're like Valerie Jarrett, people that are. I still think it's the Obama group that's still kind of running things, which is why there aren't a lot of challenges to it, because he wields an extraordinary amount of power in that party still. And I think that's why there's not a lot of challenges to it. That's why you have people like Gavin Newsom, who's ruthlessly ambitious. He's a male Hillary Clinton. He's ruthlessly ambitious. I think that's why he wasn't as aggressive in challenging it, because of the people around Biden making the decisions. It's not Biden. Biden is merely the tool through which they act. That's it. So he's like, although I'm not presupposing that he's good, but he was like the king of Rohan when you had Sauron whispering in his ear. The little guy who worked for Saruman, that little weasel guy whispering in his ear, except, King of Rohan was a good guy and he was under a spell. That's just Joe Biden. It's wild. Now, got the whole family there. We talked about that. He's got the entire family there with him in Italy. I guess we're all paying for it, like we all paid for Jill Biden's trips to and fro. So just to come back to this, because I told you about this in the first hour. So because she didn't just stay in France. She was in France with Joe. Then she flew back to Wilmington for Hunter's trial. She flew back to France and then flew back. So she traveled back and forth from France to Delaware because of the Hunter Biden trial. The DNC said that, don't worry about it. They came out with a piece. This was a couple of places. They said they're planning to reimburse for the First Lady's extensive transatlantic travel to attend her son's trial. Oh, but there's the catch. Now, the Boeing 747 that serves as Air Force One, although, again, they don't use that call sign unless Biden is on it, is $206,000. Actually, some say the estimate's higher than that to operate per hour. Per hour. It's like a 8-hour flight, right? 8 to 9-hour flight from here maybe to Normandy. It's like an 8-hour flight from here to London. So, you know, give or take. Per hour, $206,000. If you look at first class tickets from D.C. to Charles de Gaulle in Paris, you're looking at like $5,000, a little over $5,000 without tax for a first class seat. The DNC said they're only going to reimburse for the cost of one international first class seat. You know she didn't travel alone. You know she had aides go with her too. So we are paying, I would say easily, over $500,000 for her flights alone, back and forth, because she wanted to be in the courtroom for Hunter Biden. Remember, she was there on jury selection day. Why did she need to be there for that? That's weird. She's sitting there staring at the jurors as they're being questioned by the legal teams? Really? Back and forth so she could attend Hunter Biden's trial. This family. And now the whole family is what, now all of Hunter's adult grandkids are in Italy with Joe. They all got on the plane. They're all there having a National Lampoon Biden vacation on the taxpayer dollar. Unbelievable. Now, we got a lot more on the way as we got Florida Man coming up. And then we have to talk, too, about the foreign policy, because there's going to be more foreign policy stuff for Gaza. So we're going to get into all of that. All right. As we move, we got a lot of stuff to get into. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Black Rifle Coffee. It's the best coffee in America. If you haven't tried it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's a perfect time to do it. They are one of the most popular coffee companies in America, which makes all the Marxist coffee companies super angry because it's veteran-owned and veteran-run, and everything down from the roast to the bag art that they do, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. It's owned and run by veterans. They hire veterans in active duty. They support law enforcement. Every single bag that they make is roasted right here in the U.S. of A. They don't white label it like some of these other posers do. They actually roast the beans themselves. They have a variety of choices, too, for your consumption. Ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. You also can find the apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything. And join the coffee club because you get your favorite brew or brews. You can choose how often you want it delivered, and you get free shipping, and it shows up magically. The Coffee Fairy drops it off on your doorstep. It's awesome. Try it for yourself today at BlackRifleCoffee.com and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love how the stories that have to do with the villages, they always call them like a villager. Like it's Minecraft, right? You know the NPCs in Minecraft? Meh, that's all they say. Meh. They just make that noise.
Is this a villages story?
It is a village. The villages. We got a villager. He was convicted now, so his sentencing is in. It's a good story, so I know. So his sentencing is in. It's news. He got convicted last year of golf cart road rage. I didn't even know that was a thing. That's what he got. This guy, Sheldon Engstrom, he's 60. He's a villager. He was booked in Sumter County Detention Center Tuesday night after the sentencing. He pled no contest in Sumter County Court to battery and resisting arrest in connection with a golf cart road rage incident. He's been placed on probation for a year, ordered to perform 40 hours of service. He also had a right. He also was ordered to complete anger management. And he had to write an apology letter. So what happened? It was a road rage altercation. So what happened, he apparently got impatient with a line of golf carts in front of him on the golf cart path. And he tried to pass other golf carts. And then he stopped at a stop sign and attempted to wave some golf carts past him. And a woman in a golf cart indicated she did not want to go around him. And he started yelling and screaming at her. And then he got out of his cart and began walking aggressively towards that golf cart. And then he began chest bumping the guy who got out of that golf cart. This is like watching Nat Geo. And then he told, the one guy told Engstrom to leave him alone and said, what the hell is wrong with you? And then he threatened to hit the lady, and they chest they literally chest bumped aggressively multiple times.
With the lady?
No, with the guy who was in the cart with the lady.
All right.
And they called the police on him, and they arrested this guy at home. So really, like, the most that came out of it was chest bumping. I swear I saw this. I've seen this literally, like, in the wild. Not, I haven't, you know, like, on Nat Geo, right? So this guy's sentenced. That's just, if you're going to go that length, I'm just, you know. Let's see here. This, I got one woman who fled a traffic stop because she said she couldn't afford to go to jail. Boy, Lake County, Florida. She was arrested after she fled from a traffic stop. She says she couldn't afford to go to jail, she told the Lake County Sheriff's Office. Corin Perkins, 33, was charged with felony fleeing in an attempt to elude law enforcement, driving while her license was revoked. And she, this was after a vehicle incident that this happened late last week. They tried to pull her over. She didn't stop. She just sped away, literally sped. She was speeding. And they didn't chase her, but another deputy was able to find her abandoned vehicle. And they tracked her, and they were able to, they put her in jail. She's there on a $7,500 bond. Definitely can't afford it now. So look, that's what, you know, what happened. There you go. Yeah, don't play stupid games and you won't win stupid prizes. A good guy, Florida dentist, saved a man who was choking in a Port Orange restaurant. Patrick Cole was at the First Watch restaurant with his wife when a bite of food got stuck in his throat. Dr. Sean Bannon was sitting a few tables away. He noticed that the guy was distressed. He said as soon as he put his hands to his throat, he said it was like a knee-jerk reflex. I was on my feet. After a few repetitions, Bannon cleared the food. Cole could breathe freely. He took a few minutes to decompress, but was okay. So he literally just saved his life. So that's pretty wild. I read a story about the guy, Dr. Heimlich, who invented the maneuver, never actually performed it until like one day when he was old, and then he performed it. You would think that he performed that maneuver a million times. A Florida man was arrested after forcing his way into a woman's home and hugging her. 29-year-old Florida man. He's got too many names. I need to take a deep breath for all his names. Nestor Miguel Zavala Zepeda.
Wow.
That's a lot. You pick, drop one. You know, it's like, what is the rule about jewelry? If you're standing in front of your mirror with all your jewelry on, take off one thing before you leave the house. Otherwise, you're over-accessorized and that's tacky. Okay, well, you have too many names. Stop it. It's tacky. You're over-accessorized. So this 29-year-old broke into this lady's home Monday and hugged her. He got charged with battery and burglary. The 21-year-old victim said she found her neighbor sitting on her porch, and deputies say he stopped her from closing the door, gained entry inside, hugged her without her consent. She got him out of her residence, called 911. So he's in there on a $20,000 bond. He did try to get back into her apartment. I feel like if he would have been able to get back in, I don't think it would have stopped at hugging. I think he'd have probably done something. Done something more, I should say. But that's, golly, people are, I don't know. I feel like maybe also too, she knew that he was probably a weirdo from the beginning, because the stories, like, she immediately was all weirded out because he was right there in front of her house. So that, or her apartment door. And let's see, a Florida man is accused of stealing a truck, crashing it through a fence at Jacksonville International Airport. He told police, whatever I took tonight was not cocaine. Yeah, that's it, guys. He just says he didn't take the cocaine. So we have a third hour on the way. Biden, G7, it doesn't look good. Stick with us.
Can you tell us who from the president's family is with him on the trip? I think it's a couple of grandchildren, but I wasn't sure.
What I can say, there are a number of family members traveling on this trip with the president. I don't have any names to share, but I can confirm, and I think you've all seen it for yourselves. There are family members traveling with him.
All of his adult grandkids with Hunter are traveling with him. They're all on Air Force One with him. They all traveled. They're going on a nice little Biden family vacation in Italy, because I don't know why else they would be there with him for G7. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this third hour. A lot of stuff to discuss. We've gone over quite a bit, including, you know, Biden's lost in a field somewhere in Italy. All the video shows having to be led around by Italy's Prime Minister, Giorgio Meloni. And in the meantime, collapsing U.S. petrodollar is now Saudi Arabia is not going to be exclusively selling in U.S. currency anymore. It's going to be using all the currencies. So there goes that. There goes that reserve. That's
and Russia.
Yeah, I don't think people understand how disastrous that is. There has been no attention paid to economic policy at all from this administration, and it shows. We're going to talk some more about this in the days to come. Now, in addition to all of this, pull this up. We have some law. We got to get into law and order as well. I wanted to pull up this Merrick Garland thing because now, as you know, one of the other big stories is that the House, they're voted to hold, have Garland held in contempt. But Merrick Garland, though, guys, don't worry about this. Look, DOJ investigated. The DOJ investigated. Yeah, Merrick Garland. Yeah, and they said, there's nothing that is done wrong here. Yes, Merrick Garland investigated Merrick Garland and said that there's nothing wrong. Merrick Garland didn't do anything wrong.
Who would have seen that outcome?
Right? Yeah, they investigated themselves. Nothing wrong here. Oh, we're supposed to just buy it? Because the DOJ said it. But it's the DOJ investigating accusations of wrongdoing within the DOJ. So I don't think it's just is over with that easy, Kane.
And by the way, they're just saying that they don't have any they're not proving anything. They're saying they don't have any documentation. There's clearly proof of potential collusion. So there must be some
sort of paperwork. I don't know, though, guys. You know, there's a 57-page memo from the DOJ saying why the DOJ doesn't have to turn over audio of that Biden conversation. That's what this is all about. It has to do with the audio of Biden's conversation with Special Counsel Robert Hur. And they had released a redacted transcript. And people were like, why? This is edited. And they said, yeah, but, you know, it's edited because we were taking out some of the repetitive words like conjunctions and prepositions and things like that, comma splices. I'm sorry, what? Yo, I mean, you know, like if he says, you know, and this, and they just took that out, you know, to why? Why would you go through the whole thing and then remove like certain things? You know how stupid that sounds? Like, we're reading it and he said the twice here. What's that? I mean, stop it. So that made people think, understandably, that, wow, the audio must be real bad. And they refused to release it. They are required to by law, and they refused to do so. So they're holding him in contempt. But they said, well, we don't have to. The GOP already has a transcript of the interview. They don't need this. You don't get to decide what we need and what we don't need. You don't get to. Now, they say that Biden's asserting executive privilege, he doesn't want this out either. And remember, it was based on this conversation that Hur was like, he is too meddled in the mind to withstand prosecution. So he's not sentient enough to withstand prosecution, but he can run the United States of America. That's what Robert Hur said. That's why they're not prosecuting, because he's old and feeble-minded. And the Democrats erupted over it, and the Biden campaign erupted over it, and then they had all their surrogates go out and try to defend him. So they're arguing that Biden's assertion of executive privilege over this grants Merrick Garland protection from any kind of prosecution related to contempt of Congress. I don't think that's how executive privilege works. So Merrick Garland is trying to intervene because it looks bad if Joe Biden comes out and says, no, I can't have any of this out. How bad does that look? The audio must be really bad. Think about it. If Hur came to the conclusion from this interview that they can't even prosecute him because he is not there all the way, And Kane, correct me if I'm wrong, that's ultimately what he said. He was very careful with his choice of words.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't being they got mad at him and said that he was politicizing it. And he's like, no, really, like he's not there. He was being, I thought, very gracious. That's how bad this is. We deserve to have the audio. How bad do you think it is, Kane?
Well, I remember seeing a story back in April. And matter of fact, here it's the New York Post. And they're talking about how many times the transcripts for Biden have been, quote unquote, edited to clarify what he has said after a bout of mushmouth. 148 times.
Oh, wow.
From January to April, it had to be edited. So we kind of need the audio. We need it to contrast with or to compare to the transcript. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the big deal is.
I mean,
I guess
audio.
We kind of understand what the big deal is. They don't want mushmouth.
Oh, probably sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine if it's that. I mean, if they're fighting this hard to keep it from getting out there, I mean, it makes you wonder golly. So I do believe that we're owed. We're owed this. And we'll see if, you know, we'll see if that happens. But that's, they can't just ignore, you can't just ignore a congressional subpoena. I mean, there are people right now who are going to jail for that. You can't just ignore it. Law and order. I don't know. After the pier disaster, apparently Joe Biden's readying his next big disaster, his next big failure in Gaza. So the $320 million taxpayer dollars that we spent on the floating pier to facilitate the delivery of humanitarian aid, that was a disaster.
It was before it sank.
It was shelled immediately. And then not even 2 weeks later, they shut it down because it couldn't even, I mean, they were pretty temperate seas and it was just going, it couldn't hold. So now this, you know, this again, remember, he's the foreign policy statesman. So now, according to, this is Politico, he's got a new plan. He's got a new plan for Gaza, guys. A new plan. What is this new plan?
Is it the same plan?
Yeah, kind of. They said that they're coalescing around plans for an interim Palestinian council to govern Gaza and a security coalition in which the U.S. military will play a major role. They're building current post-war plans around the idea that the U.S. will play, Politico, a major role in a multinational force largely made up of Arab forces, according to four U.S. officials familiar with Middle East policy and an Arab official familiar with the issue. Biden is unlikely to allow troops inside Gaza itself. Wow. This is an... So who? What Arab forces? So wait, are you telling me that we're just going to send, like, what, Qataris? The Qataris into the Gaza Strip? And the people that that sheltered Hamas leaders? What other Arab military are you just expecting? And Israel is going to allow them to enter into Gaza? Or what about in Egypt? We had the story a couple of weeks ago talking about the tunnels that were dug from Gaza to Egypt. They knew that there were tons of tunnels that were being dug under the border there in Rafah, smuggling arms and munitions out of Egypt. You can't tell me that they didn't know about that. Did you see the giant wall that they built? You can't tell me they didn't know. And I don't think that the Lebanese want anything to do with us. So what in the world? They're not going to. So they wouldn't enter Gaza, but they would be out there where they could be shelled and right directly into harm's way. There doesn't need to be. They don't need another Palestinian council. They have the Palestinian Authority already. That's a council. That's the rule. That's it. That's the and Hamas and Fatah fall underneath that. So why do we need to create another Palestinian Authority for Gaza? This is so stupid. This is entirely unnecessary. They just need to get Hamas out of the way. That's it. And you know what? Even if they, regardless of what they do, even if you have a Palestinian council, another one, and you have the U.S. and all these other entities involved, the same people that have been screaming about occupation, which it's never been an occupation, will be screaming about it still. But the idea that you would have military play a role in a security coalition, we don't owe these people a thing. We don't owe Gaza anything. We don't owe them any kind of involvement in a security coalition. Taxpayer dollars for this. But this is the new plan. This is what they're considering. I would imagine that this is probably a topic of discussion at G7. And there have been a number of that are outside of the seven, a number of member nations that have been were invited to observe. But that sounds, this is a disaster in the making. He just keeps, he is one of the worst. I don't think in modern era, the only other person whose foreign policy is on the same level of awfulness is Jimmy Carter's. Jimmy Carter created the instability there when he and the CIA decided to play kingmaker. They created the instability in the Middle East. And now you have Joe Biden continuing it. Well, did it with Obama Biden with Libya. They did it with Egypt, too. Do you remember when they tried being kingmakers in Egypt? The Muslim Brotherhood had been banned in Egypt. And Hillary Clinton went in and actually backed the Muslim Brotherhood in elections. Remember that? And then the Muslim Brotherhood was back in Egypt again. Now they're out. And how they destabilized Libya, taking out Gaddafi. There is a lot. I don't know. Obama, they give him a pass for a lot of this stuff because Hillary Clinton likes to claim all the accolades, but.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So one real quick thing. You know, the Biden ATF pistol brace ban was vacated. The Firearms Policy Coalition announced a major legal victory in Mock v. Garland. That's the suit that challenged the Biden administration's pistol brace ban issued by the ATF. They said that summary judgment in favor of FPC and its co-plaintiffs issued a final judgment and ordered the vacation of the rule. They said that, which is great, because you can't have this agency making law in place of Congress. And I'll have something more about this coming up on Substack. But that's great news. But we're awaiting more decisions. That was from the other federal courts. We're still awaiting some other SCOTUS decisions coming forward, though. This is interesting. This came out. It says experts discovered the earliest record of Jesus's childhood after deciphering a 2,000-year-old Egyptian manuscript. The material that predates paper, papyrus, told the lesser-known story of the vivification of the sparrows when it was reported that the five-year-old Messiah was said to have turned clay pigeons into live birds, and it was referred to as the second miracle. They think it was probably written as part of a class exercise in the 4th or 5th century Egypt, which was a Christian society in those times, because the clumsiness of the handwriting. Isn't that interesting? That they can, like, I don't know, they can tell some of that stuff. Gen X is fed up. They're done. So they're taking more vacations alone, coming from MSN. All of Gen X is done with it. So they said that more than 60% of Gen Xers book vacations to escape daily. I mean, that's real. They said they use vacations to escape stress more so than spending time with family. That's the highest of any generation. And they're shifting from family trips to solo and friend-based vacations. That's very interesting. And because their kids are starting to go to college and all that stuff now, or in college, depending on what spectrum of Gen X you were on, you know, that kind of makes more sense that would drive it. So Chiquita, the bananas, right? They're found liable for financing a paramilitary group. A Florida jury on Monday found that Chiquita Banana, the Chiquita Brands of International, the Chiquita Brands International is liable for financing a Colombian paramilitary group. And the jury in the civil case found that they, quote, knowingly provided substantial assistance to the group to a degree sufficient to create a foreseeable risk of harm to others. Remember their commercials? Yeah, and I remember, like, what is it, 80s or 90s? They had, like, the lady with I always like her skirt. I mean, that is literally apropos of nothing, but I just, you know, just reminded me I liked her skirt. A DOT, Department of Transportation contractor, apologizes for a profane road sign that was on the highway. We all have these days. This was in Spartanburg, South Carolina. The words on the sign read, blank, stay alert. Blanking, stay alert. Meaning, you know, with the F word, stay alert. They said that they took the steps to correct it. Apparently, it was like a third-party contractor that was involved. I don't know, but I just stay alert. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An iconic L.A. landmark still in the dark almost 6 months after thieves stole nearly 7 miles worth of copper wiring that illuminated the 6th Street Bridge.
They're waiting for us to repair them. They want us to repair them because every light post to them is an ATM machine. It's pure cash. So when we go and repair, what do? They go and they steal again.
Councilmember Kevin De Leon helped create a task force to crack down on the copper wire thefts plaguing the city. More than 6,000 incidents were reported citywide last year, repairs exceeding $17 million. The task force also working on ways to prevent a costly repeat of the crime along the famous bridge, since repairs there are expected to top $2 million.
We need to come up with creative ways to reinforce the metals, the cement that protect and safeguard the wires so thieves can't just walk up.
The picturesque bridge has been besieged with
this guy
since its unveiling.
What the hell? This guy is so clueless. His name's Kevin De Leon. He's a council. He's in California government. He's in state government. And he's the guy when they held as a California elected official, he held a press conference with DOJ in California and ATF, and they were talking about quote unquote what was it? He was talking about ghost guns, and he was talking about what was it? Was it pistol braces?
Yeah, I think so.
And he sounded like an absolute moron, and that video went viral. So he's still as goofy and dumb as he was. I mean, there's a consistency. Play this if we have it. This is the same. It was the same guy. He was up there with the rifle. And he's holding it, and he's like, you know, this is, you're going to kill some brain cells without alcohol. Here's how. Watch.
This is a ghost gun. This right here has ability with a 30 caliber clip.
Oh, gosh.
To disperse with 30 bullets within half a second.
What?
30 magazine clip.
What?
In half a second.
What? Oh my gosh, shut up. It's not a ghost gun, you epic moron. And by the way, people can make stuff at home for their own personal use. What is sends out 11 kajillion bullets in a second?
30 and a half seconds.
Yeah, that spits out 30 whole bullets in a half second. Like all at once? Or does it? I see, this is why I couldn't just be a member of the press and sit and ask these people questions, because I would be an absolute troll. Like, it's one of the reasons why I love Peter Ducey so much, and he does such a great job. But you mean, do they spit them out, council member, all at once or individually in half a second? That's what I would ask. Anyway, this guy, so he's sitting here going, we need to figure out a way to, you know, reinforce the concrete for the copper, or I don't know, maybe you can just send people to jail and start prosecuting when they do stuff like this, instead of going, no, we don't have the, we just can't. Yeah. We just can't do it. Because that's what happens. That's why people are doing it more and more, because no one's getting prosecuted over it. And so,
I don't get it. The government is so great at making everything so cost prohibitive. Why don't they do that with the fines like these? It's say, hey, you know what? If you're ever convicted of anything like this, here's the fine. And it's like 10 times whatever you stole or whatever the case may be. Make a deterrent. Make it happen. Why do you keep letting these people out in the streets for this type of stuff to happen?
And then to be lectured by a guy. I mean, the average, I think it's what? The average, it's 600 RPM. So it's like 10 rounds. It's 10 rounds a second. That's the average machine gun. And what he's talking about is the semi-automatic, he says that the clip, the 30 round magazine clip, shoots 30 bullets in half a second. Does he even know? I don't even know if he knew he was holding a gun until someone told him what it was.
Nor does he know the measurement of time.
Can we talk about the heroic amount of will that it took for the cop standing next to him to keep a straight face as he was saying this, as Kevin De Leon was saying this stuff? He's holding it. You could tell he didn't even know how to hold it either. He's like, this is, it's a ghost gun. and it has a magazine clip, and it shoots 30 bullets in a half second.
I could make fun of this guy all day long. The cop that's standing behind him is just looking at him like, my gosh, I can't even believe I'm sitting here listening to this. I cannot. Just, you know, why did they, was this the most knowledgeable guy that they had to talk about that at the time?
Apparently.
It's a 30 caliber magazine clip that delivers all the rounds in half a second.
Ability with a 30 caliber clip.
Caliber clip.
To disperse with 30 bullets 30 within bullets. Half a second.
All the bullets in the clip 30 magazine come out of
magazine
once.
Clip.
A 30 magazine clip. Holy cow.
I'd love a
36. What's the math on that? Let me think. Clip. Wait a second. 3,600 RPM, guys.
Oh my God.
I cannot get. I can. Oh my gosh.
Wouldn't it be like 36,000 RPM?
I can't deal. That, so that guy's sitting here lecturing about the bridges.
You know, they got to reinforce the copper, the wires with the copper in the concrete.
It probably took them 10 minutes to strip that bridge or that area that he was in. If that, but I don't know. That's what you got to start prosecuting for this stuff. But they don't do that. So that's why this keeps happening. Because they don't do any of that. Good night. So we've been talking about G7 and the whole family Biden took with him to go vacation in Italy. And we talked about some of the policy stuff as well. There are also Politico. This was an interesting piece that they had. And they had this story, and I had it saved. And now I went back to it. The headline was, Biden insists he's not involved in his family's business dealings, but his aides are a different story. Well, we know he's involved in his business dealings. This came out on the 8th of June. And I thought, Politico kind of did a decent job at sort of explaining how the financial grift of the Bidens are how it's structured and how Jim is in on it. Like the whole family's in the family business, which isn't in goods. It's in access and it's in power and influence and all of that stuff. But they act like, oh, Biden doesn't know about any of this, though. See, it's his brother and it's all his aides. Like everybody else goes under the bus. This story sounded to me at the time and still sounds to me like it was pushed out there by the people who are really running the show, but they need Biden as their mask to do it. And if they have to throw his whole family under the bus, they will. And he allows it to happen because he's a PO. He's not a good guy. But it's a very interesting piece. But by even writing about this, you know what they did? It's real. It's a crime family. They are peddling influence and access. They're peddling that's what they're peddling. They're selling it. And then they use Biden as the veneer. Can we play this audio of him? This was actually just recently, just a little bit ago, where he was, I guess, taking a question. He was slurring so much. He looks so bad with all these other much younger and actually like aware leaders at G7, but he was there answering questions, and I don't know. I'm watching this. I'm like, how in the world is he going to do in the debate? Somebody made a really great point. He was put on the world stage to delegitimize our country. Think about that as you watch him talk here. Listen to this.
I criticize at home for asking when the federal government invests in something that discourage or encourage private sector to invest. 96% of the people asked that encourages investment, not discourages investment.
What?
It attracts investment.
What?
This is a investment.
What are they going to have to put him on to get him through the debates? Seriously. What are they going to have to put him on to get him through the debates?
June 27th, guys. It's June 27th. It's just a couple weeks away.
Literally 2 weeks away.
How in the world? This is just, I mean, I'm watching the videos. Georgia Maloney was his babysitter. Prime Minister Maloney babysat him.
What?
And every clip that I've seen where he's like wandering off or he'll turn around, all the other leaders are facing forward and he's there. They're all talking in a different setting and he just turns around and she literally says something and then like turns him back. Like she is his visiting angel. Visiting angels. Who knew? She's acting like his visiting angel. I can't. I don't know. And he looks confused in every, this is one of, just one of them. This is one of the times that she had to act like his visiting angel. That's the Prime Minister of Italy. That's Prime Minister Maloney. She had to act like his visiting angel. And then they all kind of helped. And he's, how confused is he? He's putting on his sunglasses. Nobody else needs to. He's putting his sunglasses on. He's like, what in the hell? Like he didn't know what was going on in front of him. He's talking, he's like looking at imaginary people behind him. How is he going to get their debate? How? There's Hunter Biden cannot get his hands on enough cocaine to make that happen. There is not enough cocaine in the world to make that happen. Not enough. So, I don't know. What are they going to put him on? What kind of cocktail is he going to get? It's just crazy.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We're developing the first railway line to extend from Angola to the DRC, Zambia, to the Indian Ocean. I think this is a game changer. I really do. We've got a continent that's going to have over 2 billion of people very shortly. And it really is a game changer.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Why are you gay?
I don't, never going to get, it's never going to get old, man. I bet it makes it difficult for the simultaneous interpreters there to interpret what he's saying because he's so marble-mouthed. I bet it does. He looks so tired. He's answering questions. And he just, this is so bad. This is so bad. Oh my gosh. And then of course, then you have this. Let me get you guys are hijacking it for today in stupidity, but wait until you hear this Janet Yellen audio. I also want to hit, there's one more that I want to make sure we hit. This is audio soundbite 18. One of the things that we're going to talk about, I'm going to try to get to this tomorrow, is the reporting of crime and how now the FBI is starting to fudge. This is one of the reasons why my friend John Lott's always super critical of FBI statistics and why, even when we're looking at uniform crime reporting, the UCR numbers, to dispel the idea that it's, you know, that homicides involving illegally possessed firearms are involving illegally possessed firearms. But even then, they've been fudging their numbers to make it look as though the crime is down, when actually, especially when you look at individual state reporting agencies, it's actually up. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 18. They're even reporting this.
Murders are up double digits in L.A., Baton Rouge, Kansas City, Orlando, Wichita, and Colorado Springs. In Pompano Beach, Florida, police and federal agents just wrapped up a six-week sweep targeting guns and drugs, arresting 132 suspects and confiscating dozens of weapons.
They need to make it look like the crime is going down. Also, if you just don't report it, because the mandatory reporting aspect of it, that can be determined by state, then guess what? It doesn't, if you don't report it, then it doesn't exist, does it? If you don't report it, it doesn't exist. Crime looks like it's going down, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that more in depth. We're going to get to that tomorrow, and we're also following the rest of the G7 stuff. Thankfully, it's only a couple of days for Biden. But he's already made one weird and kind of damaging promise to commit to Ukraine for 10 years. How long does he think this is going to go on? I mean, think about it. A 10-year military commitment?
Before peace talks?
Yeah. Okay. I know. We're all thinking this. It's all thinking the same thing now. But we're going to continue following all of the stuff at G7. And then there are more, there's a couple of more SCOTUS decisions. They said more decisions are expected tomorrow. And whether or not the presidential immunity case is going to be amongst them, that is not clear yet. But regardless, we'll recap that. We'll discuss those on the show tomorrow. And we'll have a recap of just the decisions from this week. And then we're expecting, obviously, I don't think they're going to release everything tomorrow because you have the Rahimi case. There's several other cases, but it may be the presidential immunity one. So we'll wait and see, and then we'll have that for you as well. But we made it through the week. We made it through the week, and thankfully. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
Okay, it will be our Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen. She is out there trying to convince you that your wallet, the way you go to the grocery store and spend more money, all that is no. Everything's great, guys. Listen to this. Listen.
All Americans, both those who are well off and those who are near the bottom of the income distribution, are better off now. Their wages have risen more than prices.
Okay, when you factor in inflation over wages, we're still about negative 4% on wages. So that's a downward turn on wages. And everything has increased in price of about 20 to 25%. So and some more than that. So
you can tell this woman never leaves her bubble. She has no idea. Oh yeah, those who are well off and those are near the bottom, everybody's better off now. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not better off now.
She'd gaslight more, but gas is so expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's bougie gas, you know, and that's why you're paying. All right, folks, that does it for us for today. Make sure you find us on Substack. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. Get all kinds of good stuff coming out to you regularly. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. And I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.